Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is the Ladies of Tea Talk Time, and today is June the 5th. Today's June the 4th. I'm jumping a day ahead. Excuse me, guys. And we are, I guess 4 days into the month, and it's already just started. You know, I'm excited, though, that even though the time is moving so fast, I'm still excited, you know, for what is going on, and just looking at the world around us, and it's chaos sometimes in certain places. We've been having a lot of rain here, but it's not just us. It's raining all over the world. Right now, the French Open is going on, and they had to cancel a couple of the matches because of all the rain they were having over there in Italy, and because they're playing on clay. So it gets dangerous if with all of that rain. But needless to say, Serena is playing for the title this morning. Go Team Serena, Team USA. So I'm keeping my finger crossed. I'm sure I'll get the alert if she wins or not. So that's what I'm really excited about this morning. And just recapping last week's show, we talk about online dating, the pros and the cons, the things that you should look out for, the different types of dating options that are out there, dating sites. Dee gave a pretty much detailed account of how Tinder works. We talked about Match, eHarmony. You know, there's a whole ton of them out there. And that, you know, this is the generation in the world we live in right now where online dating is more popular than actually even meeting people, you know, the old-fashioned way, face-to-face, because of people's schedule and how busy everybody are and the little time that you get to actually interact like that. So it's becoming an alternative. And although we think that, you know, face-to-face is better, I think that was what me and Dee pretty much agreed upon. We do encourage that if you do choose to date online, that you make wise and safe decision, and because it's just like meeting the person in a grocery store. Just take your time, ask the right question, and be diligent, do your research, and just listen to your instinct. And pretty much that was our advice on when it comes to online dating. The show is available on Blog Talk, so you guys can always free to go back and listen to the previous show. So that's all I have. My beautiful co-host is here with me, Dee Morris. And, you know, what do you have going on this morning, Dee, before we jump into this morning topic? I know she has me. She's here, guys. She is. She probably have us on mute because she tends to do that sometimes and forget that she has the phone on mute, but I promise you she's on the line. Dee? Hello? Okay. All right. So I'll just go ahead and start discussing a little bit about what we're going to be discussing this morning. And this morning's topic is knowing your worth. And this topic was brought to my attention by Dee suggesting that we discuss this topic this morning, which is knowing your worth. And when I think about knowing your worth, I don't necessarily think of it from just the perspective of what we look like on the outside. Because I find that when you ask people about their worth, a lot of time, that's the first thing that comes to their mind, what they look like on the outside and your self-image. And for me, it goes a little bit deeper than that. It's more having to do with who you are on the inside. You know, what do you value? How do you see yourself? What do you have to offer? And, those are the things I think about. You know, who are you? And if you leave a room or if you even move away, will people miss you? You know, those are the things that I think about when I think about knowing your worth and who you are. And I sometimes equate it to like when people are shopping for a car or a house. You think about the value of that house. You think about the structure of that house, how it's the architectural of the house in terms of how you want it, what you want to improve, what you want to knock out, your space, the how much money you're willing to spend on it because of the where it's located, you know, the model, the size, all of those type of things. And I think we can also use those same things to those concepts to ourselves. So, you know, when you think about what you're worth, what if you could put a price on yourself, what would that number look like? If you can think about the model, and when for the model in terms of human beings, I think about who you are on the inside. What do you add to the table? You know, what are your morals? What are your values? What are the things you care about? What are the things you're passionate about? And then you can add a price, or you know, when even. So that's my understanding, and you can chime in at any time, Dee, and just tell me if when you think about self-worth as well, or knowing your worth, are those the same things that comes to mind for you, or is it something entirely different?
Well, On the contrary, I think that a lot of people, depending on the age group, but I would say anybody is that. Maybe high school or young adult, let me say that, understands what the term self-worth is or what it means. I think a lot of times people, however, use external objects, you know, material values to basically determine what they feel that their worth is. They not only do that to themselves, but also to the way they determine someone else's worth. For instance, the high school that I grew up, that I went to school at, I would say it was pretty bougie.
Mm-hmm.
100% African American, who was not a part of the school of the public. I'm from Oklahoma City, and so we weren't a part of the Oklahoma City public school district, but we was a public school, and we had a little bit better situations as far as our administration and things that we were allowed to do, as well as some of the things that we had access to. And a lot of us lived in a, you know, predominantly nice area, so our idea, and that's basically where I came up with the idea of worth. I wasn't thinking about that at the age of 10 or 12 or 13. You know, I was growing into my own. But when I started paying attention to people's status, what you have, that's how I initially put a value on an individual when I looked at them on the outside. This is without knowing who a person is. And as a result, you can't help if you're judging people's worth by what you consider their status. You can't help but to internalize that as well. Some of the kids that had cars at 16, was well off to do, or always dressed a certain type of way, even if you didn't like it, you subconsciously put them in a different category. Mm-hmm. And then I believe it manifests when you grow on and leave high school, you go on to college, or you go on to your career, you start paying attention to what type of car a person drives now. I think we do that when it comes to dating as well. Matter of fact, I know we do. We may meet a Richard, and based off of what area he lives in, what type of car that he drives, what type of job that he has, we then attach our own perceived assessment, if you will, of that person's value. Also, I think when you look at it beyond someone's, you know, tangible or the material, we look at what they can do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you can help me get to a better place financially, then that's not always the case, I may value you, your connection. That really can't do too much for me as it relates to maybe my career or my status. If you can't help my pocketbook, and of course we're in the what's in it for me generation or era, So if you can't do anything for me, then your value for me, if you can't help heighten my status or make my pockets fatter, then your value for me as a potential suitor or a potential friend is not as high as someone else that can do something for me. And I think it's very unfortunate that people look at it that way. But basically, what I'm basically saying is I believe that it starts from when you're younger, what you consider as valuable to you. I think then you can possibly, as you get older, internalize it, rate yourself as either being a valuable asset to someone, and then you do that on the flip side to how someone may be an asset to you. And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging someone's worth, but I think a lot of times people get it messed up, or they have the wrong intentions when they're looking at someone's worth, because for me, I'm going to treat a person the same way regardless of what they can do for me or what they cannot. If you look at it internally, if you love yourself, you know what your worth is, and you will not accept anything but greatness from anybody, be it your employer, be it your church member, your coworker, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or your best friend. If you know what your worth is, regardless of how someone may characterize your worth, regardless of how somebody may look at maybe the way you dress, where you live, your car, regardless of what value that someone may decide to assign to you, as long as you know your worth, you will not find yourself in certain situations that people do when they allow their worth to be compromised. I guess that's my long, short answer to that question. I think people assign you a value, and you have to assign yourself a value. And a lot of times you got to reevaluate yourself. You're in a circumstance or situation where you feel like you're not being respected, loved, appreciated, or valued, then you need to take an assessment and make a decision to remove yourself from that situation. You can't necessarily demand someone to see your value if you continue to accept to be devalued. And that's anywhere. A lot of times people think relationship-wise as far as your intimate relationship, but this is the same with anything that you do. Friendships, working relationships, business partnerships, you have to know what is acceptable to you, and you have to know what your worth is. If you don't know what your worth is, I guarantee you someone else will put a cheap price tag on you.
Right, which is exactly why I was using the analogy of when people are shopping for a house or even a car. Because you're going to do your extensive research on how you see or what you think that the price that you want to pay for that car based on the mileage, based on, you know, the overall performance of the car, if there's ever been an accident, the year of the car, the model of the car, the aesthetic features that the car comes with, you know, whether it has a backup camera, GPS system, all of those type of things. When you're thinking about the house, you think about location, neighborhood, school district, model, the architectural of the car. It's the same. So in essence, just like what Dee was saying, when you think about what you're worth, you think about your value, you think about what you have to offer. And on those things, you make an assessment about what you're worth and what you have to bring, what you bring to the table. And so that way, when you know and identify those things about yourself, when people start to not value you or devalue you, then, as she said, you make an assessment. And this goes whether it's job, business relationship, friendship, family, so it doesn't matter. You can say, I'm worth more than how you're treating me. I'm worth more than the way you are talking to me, the way that you're handling me. I am not. I don't deserve this, and I'm worth more. And you step away from that situation or reevaluate that situation, and see how you need to handle it. Because all of us are worth something, in my opinion. All of us are valuable, in my opinion. It takes a lot of us longer to figure out what our value is and what our worth is, because we may not have had anyone to pour into us. And as Dee said, we grew up in a society where people put emphasis on the wrong things. And then those things you further carry on into your adult life, like what you wear and what you drive, income level and all of that type of stuff, when really that's not really where the emphasis should be placed or what makes you valuable. Yes, those things are an asset to who you are, but it certainly doesn't make you any more valuable than another human being that really has great character, integrity, that is honest, that values their family and friends, and, you know, nurture and treat just human beings with overall respect, regardless of whatever title you come with or who you are or whatever anybody else can do for them. They treat everybody with the same respect. Until you may do something that, you know, that may have decided that you don't no longer earn that respect from that person. So that's as I was saying before, to a lot of times, as Dee was brought up about the, it starts from a young age, because this is something that really has to be taught in the home. You have to teach, you know, the child is very young about their value and their worth, which has nothing to do with what car their parents drive, which house you live in, which school you go to, whether you're going to private school and all of those type of things. That's not what makes you valuable or make you important. Because at the end of the day, people lose money every day. They lose cars every day. They lose jobs every day. They lose houses every day. And then when those things are taken from you, what is left? Who are you after that? And those are usually the question I ask people, you know, because as they brought up relationship, if you're somebody I'm interested in, and you start out by telling me about, you know, all the many degrees you have and your job title and how many money you have and what car you drive and all of that type of stuff, then, you know, my next question to you, beside those things, who are you? Because you can lose those things. Money come and go every single day. People lose jobs every single day. People lose houses and car every single day. So say those things are taken from you, who are you after that? Are you somebody with integrity? Are you somebody of good character? Are you somebody that I can trust? Are you somebody that I can pick up the phone at any time of the night and call and know you will be there or answer that phone? Or are you somebody that is going to be there not only when times are good but when times are bad? Those are the things that I think make human beings valuable. And a lot of times we don't value those things. We don't appreciate those things. And sometimes we appreciate it when it's too late, when people are no longer in our lives or people are gone or passed away or whatever it is. Those are the times that we start actually looking at who that person was and was like, you know what, this person was there for me. This, you know, it happens every day. But, you know, basically, from my rambling, what I'm saying is knowing your worth is a little bit deeper than what we see is being sold to us right now every day in the culture and the society that we live in, of retouch pictures, what you drive, what you wear, how many degrees you have. These are the things we attach to ourselves to show that we are successful or that we are worth something. And at the end of the day, those are tangible things that can be gone like this. People lose it every day. Because right now, for everybody that may be listening to us, whether you're listening live or you're listening online, I'm sure everybody heard Muhammad Ali, which is one of the greatest boxers there is, passed away yesterday at 74. And I was a big fan of him from a young age because my mom is a big boxing fan and she loved him and used to watch him. But what I was impressed with, and I think that's what, if you look at all the things that are going around on social media right now and pictures and memes and all of that type of stuff, people are not even so much emphasizing on his boxing career and all the things that he accomplished and all the titles that he broke and records. They're talking about who he was as a man. You know, he was such a revolutionary. He spoke his mind, but he spoke his mind in terms of, you're going to respect me as a black man because I'm a human being too, regardless of the color of my skin. And he talked about, you know, the contribution that, the you know, his people made for this country. So in his own way, he stood up for his people, and he motivated them, and he talked, and people were able to relate to that and was able to, yeah, some people look at it in a comic way, you know, a comical kind of way, because he was a funny man too. But at this, but the root of that funniness, he talked truth every single time that he opens his mouth. It was literally true. He faced America to look at how they were treating other people that are in this country that has helped to build this country.
That's
and
right.
That was somebody was that's a great example of somebody who knew who he was. He knew he was more valuable beyond the ring. It wasn't just about the fact that he can box well, or he was a great athlete. He knew he was a great human being and a great person. And he exemplified it every chance he got.
That's right. You know, and you know, it all comes down to knowing your worth is beyond material values that,
mm-hmm.
as Stacey mentioned earlier, that can be gone tomorrow. And you're right. You know, a lot of times people put that value on money. And let's just compare, keeping up with what Stacey just said about Muhammad Ali. And she's right. All the memes on social media are quotes from him, quotes of substance. There's video clips of him speaking not about his how great he is as a boxer, but also talk about things that meant something to him.
Yeah.
As far as racial inequality,
mm-hmm.
You know, image. He cared about those things, and he had no problem, regardless of where he was, admired him for that. He knew as a black man it did not matter where he was still a black man, especially outside of the ring. And he was real.
Yeah.
And unlike in keeping in comparison with Floyd Mayweather, who the only thing that I can really say about him is that all he talks about is his money. Muhammad Ali is one of the greatest and will be remembered as one of the greatest boxers of all time, one of the greatest athletic icons ever. I can't even say of this time, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's synonymous with greatness, but he has substance. When Floyd Mayweather speaks, it's all about money. You don't hear anything about who the man is personally outside of his fame. If something was to happen to you tomorrow, to where you could not gloat over your or over anything that you're so proud about, what could someone say about you as a person, as a human being? What could they say about you that you have done to either inspire someone? It doesn't even have to be on a grand scale. Or what have you done within your community? What type of things or what type of legacy are you leaving behind? That is really what your self-worth is.
Amen.
That's what is measured beyond. We have everyday heroes that are in our community, that are in our schools, that are fighting overseas, that are risking their lives, their livelihood. You have people that are putting money into their dreams, their unselfish dreams that may help others, and for nothing but the satisfaction of saying that they made a change. There is a motivational speaker. He's a ex-NFL player. His NFL career was short-lived. Some people may have heard of Trent Shelton. Some may, maybe not. But he made it to the NFL, I believe. I don't even want to say what team he played for. I think it was the Rams, but I could be completely off by there. I didn't know of him while he was in the NFL. He's originally from Fort Worth, and he is a very powerful motivational speaker. And his platform, which I initially thought was about relationships, his platform is about self-love and self-worth. That's almost all of his videos, posts are about loving yourself, knowing your worth, knowing what you deserve. You know, his some of his videos helped me during some times that I was going through certain things in my life. And again, you have to know your self-worth, because if you don't, someone will assign that low dollar amount or that low ticket price on your forehead. And you'll walk around believing that that's what you're worth. That's what you're worth. I think it's very important. Like I said, it starts young. It starts with childhood. As you're growing up, you're taught how to treat people. Then you learn who you are. Then you get your own personality. Then you start developing ideas of who you are. And then you determine within your circle of people what you're going to accept and what you're not going to accept. And I feel, regardless of your words, Stacey, you could tell me if I'm wrong. Some people will try you regardless.
Oh.
It doesn't matter if you know what your worth is or not. Some people, that's just in their, they'll try you because that's who they are.
Yeah. And sometimes I think that being tried is not necessarily a bad thing. And honestly, because what it does is reinforce what you knew and what you stand for. Because you're going to have to then verbalize, in whether it's in action or in doing, that, listen, I'm not going to tolerate this because this is, you can't treat me this way, or you can't talk to me this way, or you cannot do this to me because I am worth more than this and I don't deserve it. So I think sometimes the trying sometimes for us is necessary. It's necessary because unless you're tried, you really don't know what it is that you're made of, or what you, or how much you can stand. Because if you don't put pressure on something, you don't know how much. If you see a chair over there and you said, okay, I weigh 140 pounds, that chair is supposed to be able to stand 600 pounds. But that's what they say, the manufacturers say. But if until somebody sits on it, before that chair even got to your house, it was tested and tried. So somebody has to sit on it for them to actually say it can support up to 600 pounds. So sometimes I honestly, Dee, I don't, I completely agree with you, but I don't, yeah, it doesn't feel good, but you can try me, because especially when you are probably where we are, not saying you don't have days where you may doubt yourself or whatever it is, but when you are at least sure of who you are and your character, when people try you, you just kind of sometimes you brush it off. You may get hurt or you may feel, you know, some type of way, but it probably lasts for a day or 24 hours or a couple of hours or whatever, and you're like, but no, this person don't know that I'm Dee Moore. This person don't know that I'm Stacey.
Or do you know who you messing with?
Yeah. Or do you know we're a child of God? Dude, you better recognize.
Right.
So, yeah, I think sometimes we do need that. We do, because then we give ourselves pep talks, and then you stand in the mirror and you take a good look at yourself and you remind yourself of who you are, because sometimes you even forget.
Right. And it happens gradually.
Mm-hmm.
If these, like, it just happens gradually, very, very slowly. And it does. And if you accept it, I'm the type of person, I nip it in the bud. I'm a nip it in the bud type of person. I know something that can, you're at the top of a hill and you have a little pebble and you allow it to continue to grow. It can continue to grow, build, and before you know it, you have a massive, massive rock that has just progressed, and you're like, well, how did it get here? You got nip stuff in the bud, period, end of discussion. I had a situation with my mother-in-law, and she's sweet as can be. She is the auntie that everybody went to. Like, she was of my ex-husband's, all of his cousins or whatever. She was that cool auntie. She was the youngest of 7 or 6, and everybody would crowd over her house. It was the boxing event, it was some type of sporting event, holiday. Her house was full. She was always that person. And tragically, she only had 2 kids. My husband at the time and a daughter who was terminally ill. My sister-in-law, sweetest person I've known. When she passed away, it kind of changed stuff, and it was really important for my mother-in-law to have my daughter around, mm-hmm. because that kind of filled that void. Mm-hmm. And I remembered one particular day I came down. We were living here in Texas, and I went down to pick up our daughter, and she knew I was coming. It was the weekend. I had to go back to school on Monday. Mm-hmm. I came down, and instead of letting her, I guess she thought I was going to come down and stay for a little bit on that Sunday. I'm like, no, I got to get back. I came down here, drove down. It's a 4-hour drive for those of you who have not done the Oklahoma City Dallas commute. Mm-hmm. It's a 4-hour drive. And, 8 hours on the road when you on a Sunday, when you know you got to go to work on Monday, you're kind of wanting to get in and out. So I came down there. I had a good friend with me. We was going to come down. We came down there, and it was like, hey, we're here. How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. All right, baby girl, let's get our stuff. And my mother-in-law kind of said something under her breath. And so I kind of was like, oh, she wants me to stay, but I ain't staying. I got to get back to Dallas. So I had went to the back room, and she said something else. Now, this was in earshot of me.
Mm-hmm.
And with all due respect, my good friend, she was in the front room. I was slightly embarrassed with the first time she's meeting my mother-in-law. I was slightly embarrassed on how she was kind of acting, but I was also pissed off by the fact that she was acting the way that she was.
Right.
And sometimes it does not matter who that person is. You got to let them know. You just got to let them know. You cannot allow a person to continually disrespect you. And so with my mother-in-law, I can't remember my exact words, but she made another little comment under her breath. Now this time it was loud enough for me to hear it. D whipped her head out the little bathroom, because we was in the bathroom combing my hair. Whipped my head, I walked, and I said, what did you just say? And at that particular moment, she kind of straightened up, And she just like, well, you know, I was just really, you know, expecting you guys to stay. Maybe we could have done, you know, grab something to eat and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes you have got to put someone, I won't say in their place, but you got to let them know, well, let me wake you up just in case you thought you were sleeping.
Right.
And this was not, you know what I'm saying? Like, let me bring you back to reality so you can understand who you're dealing with.
Right.
And like I said, that happens in relationships. We're human. Mm-hmm. We're not always going to be right. We're not always going to talk to the person the way that we should. You know what I'm saying? We are not always going to be. I've devalued people. And I don't want to say I've devalued, I've not appreciated people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've said things that really wasn't a reflection on how I felt about this person, a friend, my ex-husband, a boyfriend, a best friend, a coworker. You know, I've not always said or done anything. I've not always done things right. And I think it's important that, number one, regardless of who they are, let them know in up front, just in case you don't know, this is Tamika you're dealing with. This is, you know, David that you're talking to. You got to let people know up front, because sometimes we slip into where we may not value a person. Sometimes we got to be reminded of who we're dealing with in order not to disrespect people.
Right.
You know, sometimes that is, and sometimes it's just a reflection of how their day was. That situation that happened between me and my mother-in-law has not happened again. I respect her. She respects me. And it could have blew up to something ugly, but that I have for her, and I believe the love that she had for me. I just felt that maybe in that situation, it wasn't a thing of devaluing me, but I think I took it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to, sometimes when people treat you a certain type of way, if they're not treating you the way you feel, don't internalize it. Don't take it personal. That's another point. Do not take it personal. They may be going through something at that particular moment in time. Maybe you rubbed them the wrong way, and this is their reaction. Maybe this is how they deal with people. You just got to let them know, if you're going through something, that's fine. This is how you treat people. That's not the way you're going to treat me. You know, but like I said, and even in business, a lot of times people look at your worth based off of what they feel that they can get away with. A friend of mine has a radio show, a friend of ours, Daryl, has a radio show called The Blacker, The Berry. And they talk about just a gamut of issues, from relationships to politics, health, economics. There's really religion. There's no topic that they leave untouched. And there was one particular topic they talked about, African-American businesses. And I'm going to bring this to worth, knowing your worth. They talked about African-American businesses and how a lot of times when you're patronizing African-American businesses, you know, the service may not be that good. But also they came home with a really great point, was that sometimes as African-American businesses, as patrons, we try to devalue our own businesses by always expecting a reduction or a hookup or a discount. And that's not placing the same type of value on African-American businesses as we do other businesses. You know, you don't go into a major chain or establishment always looking for a hookup. You don't ask for a hookup, but you go to a mom-and-pop's organization or, you know, always trying to see what you can get for free or what you can get on a discount. We have to value our business relationships. We have to value our relationships with each other, friendship, intimate relationships, and business relationships. We all have to value that at a high level in order for everyone to be, you know, in order for all of us to succeed and try to get to where we're trying to go. I don't want to be in a friendship where my friend does not value me. I don't want to be in a relationship when my guy does not value me. And I don't want to be in a partnership where my contributions are not being valued. And it all starts with yourself, what you're willing to accept. You have to know who you are, and then you have to treat people accordingly.
I completely agree. That was well said. We have a caller that wants to chime in and to chime in on the topic and to say something. So I'm going to unmute this caller right now from phone number 9413. It's ending in. And caller, you are on.
Hey, ladies. How you doing? This is Raj.
Good morning, Raj.
Good morning.
Hey, so listen, so I'm listening. You guys are making awesome points, and I'm loving this topic. I want to step back a little bit because you guys were talking about self-worth. So, you know, I'm a kid that grew up on the mean streets of Rochester and Buffalo, New York. I mean, it was a it still is to this day, segregated city. It was a black side, white side, Italian side. It was crazy. So I was one of like 12 kids that went to this all white school at the time they wanted to desegregate. And so I got chased home like that first year. I mean, everything that you guys see on TV with the bats and the people out there chanting racist names and all of that, we got chased home like every day for like the first year until we crossed this imaginary line in the city, you know, which was the black side. So there were a lot of times I had to look at myself, you know, being called the N-word or whatever, coon, what I mean, all of that stuff. And there were a lot of times I would go home and I didn't get that self, you know, you are a black man, you're proud, I didn't get that when I was at home. I mean, I lived in a different type of house, believe me.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. So I would turn the TV on, you know, Saturdays, Wild World of Sports. And here was this brash boxer, you know, talking about how great he was, how great we are. You know, you're black, you're beautiful, you know, all that stuff. And that resonated with me because I'm like, yeah, he's right. So there were many times, you know, I think, Stacey, you brought up the fact sometimes you got to look in the mirror and your trials make you grow, you know. And I got to say that even though it didn't feel good going through it, there are a lot of trials that, and especially in that situation right there, where it taught me a valuable lesson about who I was. And I know to a lot of people, especially the younger generation, Ali is just a guy on YouTube. You know, he's a guy that, you know, was a good boxer, but they never understood who he really was. As far as, you know, what he brought to the table for African Americans or black or Negro or whatever we were called at that time. But it's just the fact that, you know, when I looked at him, I looked at somebody that was proud and he's telling me the same thing. So that resonated with me. And so my self-worth within myself, I mean, it went up 1,000-fold because nobody could tell me at that point that I wasn't what this guy was saying that I was. So I had to look at myself in the mirror and say that I am this, I am that, I am black, I am proud. I do come from a lineage of kings and queens and stuff like that. So that right there kind of shaped the young Raj. That shaped me as a kid to have morals, to work with integrity, to always treat humans like they deserve to be treated, not because of the content of their, I mean, not because of the color of their skin, but because of the content of their character. I mean, I know we sometimes push those sayings in the ground sometimes because we say them so much, but they mean a lot. I mean, especially for this younger generation, that kind of, I mean, not all of them, but a lot of them kind of like stepped away from who they are and what they mean and the struggles that people went through so they can have the basic freedoms in life. And a lot of them don't really know their self-worth. I mean, I've talked to – I used to be on in groups that would go out and talk to gang members in New York and stuff like that. And a lot of these gang members, they really don't know who they are. They don't know they don't know their self-worth, which is why they don't care about killing somebody else, because they don't care about your self-worth. So I think we as a race, as a culture, as a human, and I mean my race, I mean human race, we need to get back to who we are. There's so much hate in the world right now because a lot of us don't really understand what our self-worth is. I mean, a lot of, you know, integrity, being honest, all of that. I mean, all that is all about your character and knowing who you are and knowing what your self-worth is. And once we get back to that, I think we'll be in a better place. But until that happens, we're going to keep on seeing all this crazy stuff out there. But you guys are doing an awesome job, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
We appreciate you chiming in. And just to piggyback off what you said, I've been watching Roots since it aired over the Memorial Weekend. And I know what you're saying, that our generation don't know who we are. We really don't. Snoop Dogg was very upset the fact that Roots was even on. And, you know, he was cursing and carrying on and whatever it is. And they would like us to – his point is they keep making movies about teaching us that we were slaves. And you don't see them making movies about how well black people are doing, and that's not true. But the bottom line is, until you know where you come from, you have no direction of where you're going. Because then you're, like D was saying before, you're going to tolerate everything and anything people throw at you because you have no idea of who you are or where you came from. And that's the whole point that Will Packer and all the other producers, why they keep making these movies, because black history is no longer being taught in school. We have parents that are raising kids that really don't care about black history either, so it's not being taught in the home. So maybe they catch a glimpse of Roots on television for the heck of it, or seeing it online or something, and it may drive an interest in them. And that's why I personally don't think they should stop making these movies, because they need to know where they come from. And even when he's talking about the power in a name, like they give their kids any name these days, that is not a topic all in itself, but that, even that they don't understand. That the name that you give your children shapes them for the rest of their life. Sometimes it's even them having even pride in their name is them. It's a start to who they are later on in life, and they just don't get it. So
hey,
I'm glad you brought all of that up.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, you brought up a good topic, Stacey, about name changing. Hey, it's in the Bible all the time. God changed people's names all the time. You know,
okay.
Abram went from Abram to Abraham. Jacob went to Israel. Sarai went to Sarah. I mean, those are name changes. Exactly. Those because God
and
was
Ruth,
trying to give
he
people.
Changed
so,
it, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because he changed
exactly.
their name once they got to their full destiny, their full potential of who he knew they were. So then he changed their names from what it was, like, you know, the trickster and all of that type of stuff. Then he gave them a different name. Because once you come into that yourself, then automatically, yeah, of course, sometimes you change your name to fit that image, and that's what he was doing there. And that's why it's important for them to, you know, as I said, I know it may seem like we're veering off topic, but it all falls into the same thing about knowing your worth and knowing who you are, and why is it important for us to teach them from a younger age, as Dee said, where it comes from. So, because without a vision of where you're coming from, you can't know where you're going. So somewhere along the line, you're going to tolerate anything, and you're going to allow people to do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say to you, because you don't know or have no inclination of who you are and what you're worth and the value that you bring to something.
Yeah, that's true. Dee hit on a good point. It does
mm-hmm.
start at a young age. I mean, I take my daughters, I still do. I take them on daddy-daughter dates. Because I want them to understand, you know, if daddy can pull your chair, open the door for you, and stuff like that, then whoever you're with, then he should do that and more. So I want to be my daughter's example. I want to show them what they're worth. You know, I have them out there with me helping to fix a car. So they know certain things about, they just know, and not put them in the category. I don't want my daughters to be in categories. I just don't. So I'm teaching them at a young age about who they are, their self-worth. So, you know, I have a 22-year-old. She's dropped a couple of guys because they didn't do certain things that I did, you know, when we went on daddy-daughter dates and stuff like that. And, you know, that made me feel pretty good that she took what I was teaching her and applying it to her life. I mean, that says a lot. So, I'm not knocking guys that don't do that. I'm just saying that we got to, like Dee said, we got to start young and start at home. We shouldn't rely on a teacher or somebody outside of your home to teach your kid. I mean, yeah, you want to be for them to be around positive influences, but I mean, it starts with the parent first and foremost to teach these kids who they are. So
that's true, you know. And back to what Raj was saying, a lot of people like me. All I knew about Muhammad Ali was that he was a great boxer as I was coming up. That's all I knew. It wasn't until, to my ignorance, until I got on social media maybe about 6 years ago that I started seeing videos and clips of Muhammad Ali on many interviews throughout the 70s, 80s, talking about, shoot, might even be in the 60s, I don't know. Videos seem pretty old to me, and they surface now, where he is talking about anything and everything outside of boxing. When you see that, again, if you would have asked me in high school anything about Muhammad Ali, I could tell you, you know, that he was the greatest boxer of all time. That was it. I heard Thriller in Manila. You know, that was it. I went and I saw the movie that Will Smith, when he played Muhammad Ali, I thought it was a great movie. It gave me more insight into the man beyond boxing. I thought it was just a boxing movie. But when you have icons like that who really and truly care beyond what's putting money in their pocketbook, and even possibly hindering their livelihood, because it was, now it's popular to talk about being black and proud. It is. Back then, I can only assume that maybe it wasn't so.
It was not.
Maybe we had a whole bunch of Stacey Dashes out there.
Oh.
Because now we're like, how dare you? But maybe that's the way it was. Maybe that's where the Uncle Tom, well, it had to be where the Uncle Tom phrase came from, people who turned their back on their community just in order to, you know, fit in and blend in with the white culture. And that's my definition of Uncle Tom. I don't know if that's the case. But we need more role models like that. And to Roger's point, it also does fall on the responsibility of us as parents in our community. I can definitely co-sign on Raj talking about spending time with his daughters. That gives you your self-worth. It as a daughter, having your dad in your life or a male that can show you love will have you understanding what love is not when you become older. It will, without even, my dad never really even had to tell me or talk to me and say, if a man, he didn't have to have those conversations with me. He didn't.
Right.
But what happened as a result of him being in my life, a man taking me out to eat was not a national holiday. It was like, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, a man saying, hey, I want to take you, you know, out of town. Okay, let's go out of the country. Because I've been out of town before. Because I'm used to that. I'm used to someone treating me a certain type of way. Yeah, like, you know, and that's how it is. And that's with your dad. That's with your mom teaching you what your worth is as a woman by what she accepts from men. If you're used to seeing certain things happen within your life, regardless if you know it's right or wrong, it is that adult's responsibility as while you're young to help mold you. And it makes it easier for you to make better choices and decisions as to what you're going to accept in your life from friends and from people that you date. And then it goes into how you interact with your coworkers, your subordinates, and your direct reports of people that you report to. But that is, I didn't know that about you, Raj. I didn't know. I knew you were from New York. I knew, but I did not know that you had that experience. Am I surprised? Yeah. No. It's happening now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm surprised that we've taken a major step back. But I don't know if you guys know. I know this is a little bit, it is off topic. But there was a girl whose parents, and I think they're in Texas because the attorney's here in Texas. A girl went on a eighth grade trip, and she came back with rope burn around her neck. The
yes.
only African-American girl. Was that here in Texas?
Yes, it was. She went on a camping trip for the weekend, and that's how she came back. And they're basically not
rope burns on her neck.
They're not giving him.
Yeah, it was a guy.
No,
I'm sorry. I was just gonna say there was a guy in Ohio recently that was just lynched. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, while we're talking
about this
gorilla being. Yeah, we're talking about this gorilla being shot at the zoo. I mean, yeah, that's sad. A gorilla was shot. Yeah. But it was a little black kid down there in the enclosure with the gorilla. So I was reading a couple of the posts where they're talking about, wow, you shot a gorilla, but I was shooting a monkey. Crazy, right? So, you know, stuff like that. In 2016,
wow.
stuff like I thought as a kid, I'm like, okay, all this racist stuff should be over. I'm 50. I just turned 50 this year. And it's gotten worse. And I think CNN... I was watching CNN last night when I heard about Ali. So I was watching CNN for a while, like till this morning, you know, because the guy meant that much to me as a kid. But I was watching how they were saying since Obama took the president, and I know we're getting off topic, but again, it ties into the self-worth thing. Since Obama's taken office, there's been a rise in militias. I mean, stuff like that is crazy. Hello? Oh.
Yeah. No, you're here. I did see that about the gorilla comments, Roger. I did see that. And it was very shocking to me when I saw it. And again, you know, I was, it kind of angered me. And because, you know, why it angered me is when I looked at the ignorance of people like Snoop Dogg. Yes, he's entitled to his opinion, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. But I'm like, this is exactly why they shouldn't stop making these movies, for comments like that.
Right.
And just
exactly.
Day before yesterday, the president, the first lady, Michelle Obama, she was making her speech in New York at the graduation there at the community college in New York, and she had to remind them, even the White House right now that everybody is so trying to get into, and everybody think even though you have a non-political background, you are not a lawyer, you know nothing about laws, nothing at all that you're trying to get into was built by slaves, the same people that you're trying to kick out of this country. She has to remind those graduates of that she wakes up every day in a house that was built by her ancestors. But she know the founding fathers would not have imagined this day would come, because she's in the White House as the first lady, and her husband is waving to his daughters when they leave to go to school. But that is to say that they're where they thought Nepapa would never be, because she's living in a house that was built by her ancestors. The architectural of the house was designed by Indians. All the people that he thinks that is not making this country so great and that he wants to kick out, the whole country was built by.
Yeah, you know what's sad? I got to say, you know, I know there are just some people out there that are downright nasty. I mean, I get that. But I'm one of those people, and to my fault sometimes, I believe in the greater good of humanity. But I really believe sometimes that a lot of these racist, bigot people out there really don't even know their self-worth, which is why they even act like they act, because they don't know who they are as a human, you know? So, of course, they're going to lash out to another ethnic race out there because of their lack of understanding of who they are as a person. You know what I mean? So all that ties into knowing who you are and your self-worth. And I mean, that says a lot. This is an awesome topic because it ties into so many issues that we're having today, especially with the youth. I mean, they just, and again, there are some youth out there that are doing it. I mean, they're doing awesome things. So kudos to them.
Yeah, but my Harvard graduate this week. I love the dude.
Exactly. And we got a couple on our street that graduated this year. So, you know, I'm not saying anything about those. I'm talking about the ones that don't know who they are, that want to wear their pants sagging and got to cuss every other word and listen and promote music that defames women and their culture and selling drugs and killing and stuff like that. I remember once in Buffalo, I was at a seafood restaurant picking up some dinner one night, and I think it was a song playing on the radio, and it was one of those songs they shouldn't have been playing at that time. So it was a little girl in the restaurant with these two young ladies, and I want to say one was her mom and one was her aunt or something. And the little girl knew all, I mean, she had to be no older than four. She knew all the lyrics to the song. She's gyrating, and so four-year-old girl is gyrating to the song, and the two people that were with her are edging her on. Oh, baby, go, baby, you know this song. And then, you know, some of the adults are in there like, oh, she's doing it, you know, and stuff like that. And that angered me. I looked at the young ladies, and I'm like, you guys serious, huh? Does she know her alphabet? I mean, what does she know? Because she can recite every lyric to this song. Y'all are proving her gyrating to this song. And they were okay with that. So I called the radio manager at that point, because I used to actually work for that radio station. I called the radio manager, and me and him had a talk for about an hour about the type of music that they were playing and how it affects the community. And I just was like, at that point, I thought that the radio station had a responsibility because they were pushing this thing called Know Thyself, right? Know Thyself. So they were, and it's on your topic, but they were talking about this guy named Black Dot. I don't even know if you guys ever heard of Black Dot, but he believes that the black race came from a group of aliens or whatever. But anyway, so people are getting their self-worth from guys like this, you know. And so the black radio station, the editor, the manager was telling me that, well, this is what my listeners want to listen to. And I'm like, so you don't take responsibility for anything that's going – I mean, still Buffalo has a real high crime rate, murder rate. I mean, it's really bad. But they didn't see the responsibility in what they were doing, which is where Frontline – my company came from at that point right there, because I was like, you know what? That ain't happening. Now I got to be in the game to make the change. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get in the game to make the change, because I didn't like the fact that 4-year-old kid was in there doing that, gyrating to this song and knew the lyrics, and the radio company didn't care. They just didn't take responsibility. And one breath be saying, know thyself, know your black heritage, but in the next breath, you promoting songs that are saying to kill people, kill the police, F the police, sell drugs, I make money, and all this other stuff. And these kids are growing up thinking that's their self-worth. That's what they need to do. They need to wear the blingies. They need to wear to get a strap. They need to get as much money and gold and fame that they can possibly grab onto at that time, and disrespect women, and now know who they are. And that's, we got to get away from that. We got to get away from looking at our celebrities and looking at them and going, okay, this is who I want to be. This is what I want to try to achieve. And look at some of your other people that are in politics, that are doing it, that are trying to make that positive change for all of humanity. And we're getting away from that. So Snoop Dogg getting on TV talking about not playing Roots movies and stuff like that. I think Roland Martin kind of slammed into Snoop. I don't know if you guys seen that, but when you get a chance, watch that, because he digged into Snoop on that. I'm saying he has the money and the influence to make a difference, and he's not doing anything. Yeah, Roland Martin said, to your credit, Snoop, I think the closest you made to a good movie was Soul Plane. You know,
the pathology of Soul Plane, all it did was emphasize every little thing about a blackness that is negative, and that and the stereotypes. So that's all that did.
That's right.
Nothing about it was, and that's the thing. Even when I look at even movie like Empire, one of the issues that I have with Empire, I think Lee Daniels is a phenomenal writer and a producer. But I had an issue with so much of you know, I said, our pathology is put out there of everything negative that the other races or the other people don't know about us is emphasized, and it's over exaggerated, and it's just all of it in one setting on a platform.
Hey, Stacey,
no balance.
Stacey, to that point, and you made a good point, because when I was in the Navy, one of the places I went to was Australia, right? I went to Perth, Australia, which is on the west coast of Australia. So I'm talking to this young lady there in Australia, and she was, I want to say that they were enamored by the black people that were on the ship I was on that were in Australia. I mean, they had Aborigines there, but they looked at them like a lot of people would look at a Native American. They were considered outcast, even in the late 80s. So she was like, I really love black guys and black people, or she was really into me, right? So I wanted to know why, right? So she got her idea of who I was as a black man from what she saw on TV. That's where she got it from. As an African American, that's where she got it from. So, to kudos to your point, Stace, the rest of the world is looking at us based on what they see on TV, because a lot of them don't have contact with a real person, an African-American black person from America. They don't have that contact.
Exactly.
I met people.
That's my issue. That's my issue. And when Snoop Dogg says stuff like that, why don't you talk to Will Packer and – not Will Packer, Lee Daniels – people, when they make movies like that, and we're always portrayed as drug dealers, gangbangers, you know, can't be faithful to her wife, promiscuous, all of those type of things, and all we care about is money, greed, and fast cars and women, that's my issue. Because you're saying one thing about teaching us about where we come from and the power in our name and what our ancestors did and the contribution they made to give us some of the freedoms that we are living right now. You have a problem with that, but you don't have a problem with teaching the rest of the world that this is all we have. This is a legacy from what they did for us, and this is the legacy that we have. And that's
right.
Why when they make ignorant statements like that, it upsets me. But, you know, as I said,
right,
it may seem like we're veering off topic and we're talking about a whole lot of stuff, but I promise you, if you're listening, it all ties into what we're talking about. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, look at Halle Berry.
And Go ahead,
D. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, look at Halle Berry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, look at Halle Berry and Denzel, not to take anything away from their Oscar wins at all. But look at the roles they played to win those.
In order to
get
that, yes. And exactly.
That's the point
I'm
making, yeah.
And even what's her name from How to Get Away with Murder? I love that she is number. I think that she is number three black woman that has ever had a leading role on daytime TV apart from Scandal. What's Kerry Washington? And then, of course, you know they canceled Minority Report with Megan Good, because she was also in that category along with them. So now we only have, and they canceled, what is the other, what's her name, the pretty one? Well, they're all beautiful, but Brittany Bahari. Brittany Bahari from, that is also, they wrote her off. Off of that one. So now we're left with two. And look at the two that they left us with. The two more positive characters out of all the characters that the black women are playing, they wrote off the two positive ones and left us with the one that is the she's a mistress to the president. Everything she does is very unethical and morally questionable. I can't tell you how screwed up she is in her head. Then How to Get Away with Murder, she's also unethical. She's bisexual. She is an alcoholic. She is the list goes on and on, Dee. Those two are still on network TV, and they don't look like they're going anywhere anytime soon. But the other two, Megan Good, Brittany Bahari, those roles are gone because we have four leading women on TV right now, network TV, that has never been done before in cable network TV history. So they actually broke some barriers for black girls. But look at the two that they disappeared with, the two that were playing positive role. Because Minority Report, Megan Good played a detective. She was a detective in that role. Bahari was also a detective in her role in Sleepy Hollow. But those two are gone.
The networks did not take that away. We did not support those shows as much as the shows with the negative, leading characters. That's just a reflection of our society as to that. If Sleepy Hollow's ratings was up, then it would still be on.
No, Sleepy Hollow is still on, but what they're doing now, they're writing the role around, I can't remember her character or co-star, they're writing the role around him. The season didn't end for that. Minority Report, yeah, that, to your point, is right. They didn't get the support that they need, so they cancel that based on the ratings. But Sleepy Hollow is coming back next season. They just wrote her out of it. They're building the role around him when originally script was built around her. So without her, there was no Sleepy Hollow, because I watched Sleepy Hollow. But now, and that's why I'm not going to watch it anymore, because I couldn't figure out why in this last season they were kind of building the character around him and not around her, when without her, he didn't exist before. He came into the show because of her. Now they're building it around him, and she's going away next season. So it's coming back next season, but just without Nicole. But
yeah, and again, that all ties.
You're right on that, Dee. That had to do with the ratings and Minority Report.
Yeah, I was just going to say that all that ties into self-worth, because, you know, when Hollywood looks at, they look at stuff like that. They look at ratings. They look at how people are perceiving things. I mean, heck, look at Annie. Annie went from being a little redhead girl, even though the book doesn't say the character is white or black. But when she was rewritten as a black character, oh man, Social media lost his mind.
They lost their mind.
And I think J.K. Rowling, the lady that does all the Harry Potter stuff, I've never seen those, but I guess she wrote a character. She just did she's doing a play.
Oh yeah.
And you heard about that? So one of the characters that used to be white in the movie, she made that character black. And boy, oh boy, oh my goodness, they done lost their mind in social media over this. You know, because
they happened with Beyonce. Yeah. That's when they said white people now realize Beyonce is black, because now she's talking more about her blackness and showing more about the black side of her versus, you know, her mom is Creole and she's very high complexion and wear a lot of blonde hair. They forgot that she was black.
Right, and believe
they knew
me,
she was black. They just expected her to forget that she was black.
She was
they
black.
Didn't expect for her.
Exactly. Exactly. Now watch. I guarantee if she keep pushing this agenda, I guarantee that her album sales are going to drop. She's not going to get as much exposure as she used to get. Trust me, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. As much talent as she has, but like Dee said, she wasn't talking about her blackness, so it was okay, you know. But now that she's talking about it, she knows who she is, and she knew who she was then. But she knows who she is. She's okay with saying who she is. She knows her self-worth. Her album sales, believe me, it was a bunch of white people out there buying Beyonce music, believe me. And those racist Beyonce fans that are out there, they're gonna pull the support away from her. So trust me, it's gonna hurt her.
That's why she's on tour overseas. That's why a lot of them go on tour overseas, especially in place like Italy and those places where they're more embraced. Not all side of Europe embrace black people. Germany, those places, not so much. But for the most part, Italy, France, and those places, they embrace black people. So that's why a lot of times they go over there to do their tours because they can still make money doing stuff like that. So,
it goes back to what Raj was saying about Muhammad Ali. You have this major icon who knows who he is. And was not, ain't never been afraid of going on. He was on TV when a lot of African Americans, on shows that black people just couldn't get on because of who he was. And he used his platform to talk about racism,
the injustice.
He
didn't care if that meant that, you know, he wasn't going to be booked for another, you know, championship boxing match. He didn't have a problem with that. You don't like me anyway, was his attitude. Either you're going to come to see me get beat or you're going to come to cheer me on regardless, but I'm going to still be who I am.
Yeah.
And you're still going to pay that ticket.
You're still going to pay that ticket.
Yep. And that's
talk about
them.
It.
I love them.
That's
right. Even though I know I'm so glad I extended the time today and we only have 15 minutes left, but you know, I just want to say, even Farrakhan, I know people have a lot of things to say about Farrakhan, but what I have learned is, and I learned this from a very dear friend of mine a few years ago, and even somebody else, I think I was telling Raj a long time about this friend of mine that I call the modern-day Black Panther because he's so pro-Black. And even though sometimes I think he has no balance, one of the things that I learned from him is that you have to learn to take the good and the bad with people and take what you need to take from it. And people have a lot of things to say about Minister Farrakhan, but I love that man. I love him because he regardless of his religious perspective or your religious belief or you're not agreeing with his religious standpoints, he still, at the end of the day, he cares about humanity and he believes in who we are and he knows what we are and he knows our value. And he pushes it every time he opens his mouth. And he talks about women. The other day I was just watching him a couple of weeks on The Breakfast Club, and he was saying when he talks about women, he doesn't put us on a pedestal that we does not deserve. It's a pedestal that we do deserve. He talks to
Absolutely.
He's teaching them about the adornment of their hair, how important it is. He talks about their hips. And he's even trying to tell them, to teach, tell men that you will never know what kind of man you are or who you are until you have a woman. Because she's going to test you. She's going to test you and she's supposed to test you because she's supposed to figure out, like what Raj was saying, whether she can trust you, whether she knows you have her back, whether she knows that when she bears your children, you're going to be there to protect her children.
Mm-hmm. Listen, for years,
who you are.
That's right. And for years, you know, society would tell a black woman her curves, her full lips, her hair. None of that was important. It wasn't good enough. So you had to be skinny, your ribs showing,
My gosh.
You know what I mean? And now when you look at, I mean, and I'm not trying to veer off and get into this black-white thing. I'm really not, because I'm one of the most diverse people you ever meet. But at the same time, women in general need to know. I mean, heck, I was raised, I mean, my mom was a single mom, and I had four sisters under me. So, I mean, I had no choice but to watch all my children in General Hospital. You know, I mean, it was just certain things I had to do. I had to watch soap operas. I had to learn how to paint my sister's nails, do their hair. I mean, women mean so much to me that I try to instill who they are in my girls now, because I want them to know. Not just being young black women, but being women or young ladies and how to carry themselves. Make sure you cross your legs and you sit down. Just have respect for yourself and knowing who you are. You're a queen. You're a young princess. I use terms like that with my girls. You know, my princess, my queen. I don't say little mama. I don't say stuff like that. Little pimp, little player with my
right.
little nephews. I don't do stuff like that because it instills in them.
I can't stand it.
Oh my God.
You call her babe
when
you're at home with her. I mean, yeah, when you guys are married and loved up in the bed, whatever, you call her babe. But outside, I don't think it's you tolerate you calling me no babe.
Yeah.
I don't like
I don't like stuff like that.
And to your point, Rod, just to add, what I usually tell young girls, like my cousins and stuff like that, I said all the things that they tell us is so wrong with us. Or we are the reason why a plastic surgeon in Hollywood have a paycheck today. Just so you know,
that's right.
Because they're trying to look like us. Lip, breast implants, now they're doing butt implants. They're doing collagen in the lips for higher cheekbones, all of those type of things. Botox, whatever it is to try to look like us. But yes, so they've somehow convinced us there is something wrong with us, and we have buy into it. And that's what I said.
Look at
them. I said plastic surgeons in Hollywood now would not have a job without black women. I'm just saying, because most of you are trying to buy what we already naturally have, and that's my. Anytime I talk to black men, when I see them with certain, I'm like, you're free to love who you want to love and marry who you want to love. We're all God's children. I do believe in that. My only issue with you is, why do you take a white woman and then you pay for her to look like a black woman that naturally has all these things? Don't you think it would have been cheaper financially for you if you would have just found yourself a sister? I'm just saying. I'm looking out for your pocket. That's all. Because you don't bother breasts, lips, and all the work. You would have saved you a whole lot of money. But hey, let me move on before I get emails. But anyway, this has been a great topic and an amazing show, and we only have 9 minutes. So, Dee, if you have any closing arguments on what we discussed, all of what we discussed, it relates, you know, to self-worth and you knowing your worth and where you come from and who you are. You know, and for me, it's as, and we all agree, you know, Raj, thank you for calling in. Dee as well, we all agree. It's deeper than whatever financial stability you have, education, material values, all of those things or tangible things that can be gone. After that, who are you and what are you left with? And that's pretty much the basis of what we're trying to get to. It's for you to take time to figure out who you are, where you came from, and what you're made of, and what else is in you when, you know, when you leave the room or you leave this world, what are people going to remember you for, or what they're going to have to say about you? And pretty much that's all I have for you, is to take time to figure out who you are and your self-worth and what you have to offer besides your bank account and your clothes and your car and all of that good stuff that we think make us successful or make us worthy to sit among greats. So, you know, I don't know if Dee have anything that she wants to add to that point, but, you know, again, we thank you as always for taking the time out to spend your Saturday with us, because I know you could be doing a million other things, but we do enjoy you guys chiming in and listening online. Following us on social media. Everything for us is the same across the board. It's Tea Talk time. And, you know, you can follow us on social media, and you can also, you know, send us emails, or where you can reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our website, which is www.ttalktime.com, and let us know what you think about our topics. Is there anything that you want us to discuss, and so forth and so on. And we'd be more than happy to chime in and let you know, how that is going and whatnot. So with that being said, we have reached the end of our show. And, you know, we'll talk to you guys next week. And thank you for calling in, Roger. And we do love and appreciate you, too. And that's it for us. And we are out until next week. Dee had to run. You know, she has another appointment. However, we love you, and continue to follow us. And we will see you guys next week.